The Silver Screen Projects.
Welcome to the Silver Screen Project, where we look back at a series of films in anticipation of an exciting new cinema release.
In preparation for the brand new DreamWorks film Kung Fu Panda 4, we went back and watched Kung Fu Panda, we watched Kung Fu Panda 2, we watched Kung Fu Panda 3, and now we've watched Kung Fu Panda 4!
Yeah.
Sam, what did you think of Kung Fu Panda 4?
Yeah, it was pretty good. I had a good time watching it. I was very tired, admittedly. I hadn't had that much sleep the night before.
You were.
I think it was pretty good. I think it did a good job of kind of revitalizing the franchise a bit. It didn't feel like a kind of, it's not a legacy sequel, but it didn't feel like a kind of tacked on thing. It felt like it could either be a conclusion or the start of a new thing. I feel it was pretty good. It wasn't maybe as good as some of the other ones. I think it's probably somewhere in the middle, but I quite enjoyed it. Yeah, how about you?
Yeah, I thought it was good as well. I did enjoy it. I think maybe it didn't quite hit the heights of the first three, but maybe that'll be something to properly judge in a couple of years once you kind of give it a bit of time and rewatched it.
Yeah.
I think it kind of went back into that universe really well and really seamlessly, whilst also potentially setting up. I have got a few criticisms of some of it, but I think overall it was good.
Yeah.
Like, it was kind of, like, there's always worries of, you know, a four film bit in a franchise, legs a bit tired and stuff, but no, I think it achieved what it set out to do, and it's a worthy member of this franchise.
Yeah,
I'd say.
I think in a way, I think both of us thought 2 was probably the weakest out of the original trilogy.
Yeah.
Feel like it's kind of on par. Maybe, like you say, on a rewatch, might be above that.
Yeah.
Like, by a margin, by a smidgen kind of thing. I feel like it was, like, with scale, it was kind of smaller than some of the other ones.
Yeah.
The cast is smaller, which is both a kind of good and a bad thing, and we'll talk about that. But I feel like it did feel like a different beast in a way. It felt like, I mean, the visuals obviously were updated, like, not massively noticeable, but on a big screen you could see some texture work and, you know, some fur and stuff, and you go, this is like top of kind of what we can do now to some degree.
It did feel
because when was the last one? 2017 or something like that.
Something like that. I've got it,
2018.
Kung Fu Panda 2016.
So it has been quite a while since the last one. And it did but in terms of, like, cast,
So we get Viola Davis comes in as the villain, the third Kung Fu Panda film in a row to have an Academy Award winner to play the villain,
right?
Which is nice. It's such a big franchise,
and
but
she's playing, well, so we can do non-spoilers, or is it, it's not really,
we can do a little bit, we'll do a quick, so like, kind of what we've said already.
I mean, if you've seen the trailers, I think it's in that, isn't it?
There's a new character brought in that plays quite a big part that I don't think I saw too much of the trailers, but is quite a central part, which I don't think she was the strongest part of the film, but doesn't detract too much.
I think in a way, so there's, as we said, the cast is smaller and it's more kind of, it's two pairs for most of it, isn't it? There's Poe and this new character, and then the two dads from the previous film. And I think that worked quite well to simplify it, to kind of streamline it. I think I wasn't massively sold on the new character. I liked aspects, like some of the action was very good with that character. The voice actor isn't my favorite. I think that's part of the reason, but and I think some of the messages about, like, kind of legacy and how the world is going to progress didn't fully work for me. It kind of felt like it was like, how long is this after the last film? I've got some kind of,
I feel like it wanted to almost set up a new spin-off series and kind of complete Poe's story, but didn't quite do both fully.
You
kind of maybe should have focused on one or the other. I haven't really got much else non-spoilery should we go into I think one thing that I've kind of said throughout this series is how much I've appreciated the consistency and continuation of Poe's character
yeah
with like they never like detract, make him go back to beginnings. Yeah. And in this, I kind of like, he is now like the peak version of himself. Like,
yeah,
he wins all his fights pretty much.
And he's often
apart
wearing
from that one.
Yeah, he's often wearing the full outfit that he has, yeah, kind of, that's teased, I think, from like the very start of the franchise. Yeah. There's the silhouette kind of thing right near the start of one, I think.
I mean, it's somewhat like, so part of the fun of the character was that he was like this bumbling fool.
Yeah.
But we've seen that so much now, it's quite nice to, at this point, now see him as like the dragon warrior, yeah, and like the undoubted dragon warrior.
Yeah.
And he is like super powerful at this, yeah, point. I was like, yeah, no, that's fun. And we kind of get that at the end as well, like hopping around a bit with like all the other kind of villains and other masters kind of recognizing that no, he does deserve to have this role.
And even the name, it kind of humbles him a bit, because when he goes to this new Juniper City or whatever, which I was a little bit like, okay, so they went to a city in two, now this is like a real city. It was kind of a bit like, but it is like a massive city, and I like that no one's heard of him there, and it's kind of humbling. It brings him back to,
it was fun. There's a funny bit where he's like, nobody's heard of the Dragon Warrior, I didn't realize my adventures were so regional. It's funny.
It's good. Yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah, I quite like Juniper City. I thought like the design of it was fun. This like humongous like bumbling city, with just like non-stop stuff going on,
and there's like the bull police force, and there's, and then it's kind of like got this the Chameleon, which is the new villain, is kind of running the city, kind of both as an actual figurehead and also kind of corruptly behind the scenes, it seems,
because
working with the crime bosses. But then there's also like the good crime guys who are like the urchin people, who's with Kei Hee Kwan's I think it's like Han
pangolin,
or something. He's like a pangolin. And he was quite funny, wasn't he?
He's quite fun,
It's quite fun to see him be more of a villainous character. I mean, he still works with them by the end, but he's kind of, because he's normally very sweet and nice.
Enjoyed him that had the three little evil kids, the rabbits.
The little rabbits,
If they'd overdone it, it probably would have detracted, but I think they did it just the right amount that it was quite entertaining. There's a funny bit, we saw it in the cinema, where they randomly appear, where I think the Chameleon's trying to escape, and somebody right at the front of our cinema was like, ha ha! Very loudly.
It was seeing it, because I don't see kids' films in the cinemas very often. So having, and it was pretty much during Easter holidays. It was during Easter holidays, wasn't it? It was kind of a bit of noise in the cinema, a couple of babies crying and stuff. I was like, not ideal, but then you get these really like honest reactions like that.
Yeah.
And there's the boy in front of us, like the film hadn't even finished. He was like, that was a great film. His mom's like, shit. It was like still wrapping up. It was in the final battle still or something. But good and bad to that. But the Chameleon, I think, was a really fun villain.
Yeah, I think she brought a new element, because we've kind of had like Tai Lung, the master of kung fu, Lord Shen, the master of kind of like industry, and then Kai, the master of like chi. It's hard to know where to go next, so having a kind of someone who can kind of encapsulate all of
exactly, because she uses elements of all of those, and her main point once we kind of get to know her is that she doesn't know kung fu, no one will teach her, because she doesn't have the right kind of chi spirit kind of energy, but she finds a way through mysticism and that sort of thing. So it's got elements of the kind of Kai thing, and I think the introduction, so we see her in disguise right from the very start, and there are kind of telltale signs. He's got kind of slightly kind
scaly skin,
bits coming out. He's playing Tai Lung. Who we get Ian McShane back to do that voice. Fortunately, no one else get back any other ones. But I really like the introduction, where it's the mob meeting, and it's the kind of they're all talking about her, and then one of them's like, "She might be here," and then it's like, "She might be you," "She might be me," and then it like, starts changing. And it's like, I thought that was a really good
scene. I think a lot of the changes were really cool, and like they looked cool. And sometimes you'd be like, you don't know what she's going to turn into, and then it's like,
and it's kind of this gross, kind of uneven, kind of wiggly kind of change,
with like a bit morphing of,
morphing, and
and then at the end she turns into a big combination of different masters, and it's
like that,
this huge almost like kaiju monster,
exactly what I was thinking,
a bit like
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles,
Mayhem.
I think out of the final battle, there were some good moments like that, and there was like when she turned into Poe, and it was like good Poe versus evil Poe.
That
was quite a fun kind of, again, like a maybe an end to the franchise, as you're fighting yourself and all that kind of thing. I feel like the rest of it wasn't, amazing, considering you've got all these different.
No,
there were some cool bits where there was a bit like where she did the peacock thing, like the shield,
yeah,
and then like a big fist came through it of a different animal, and
yeah,
there was a few good moments, but I feel like that was a little bit lacking. Not to focus on the negatives too much, but that sequence, it built up quite nicely, and then it was kind of a bit
I felt the same. Before we go forward
I've got other,
think Tai Long coming back was great. It's a shame that they did everyone's, but he does, like, you do see the actual version of him when he first comes back, and he's like, oh yeah, I'm back,
yeah,
and then you kind of see a literal stripped back version where he's a bit kind of more reflective and like down himself, and then kind of the full redemption arc at the end where he kind of recognizes Poe as a dragon warrior. I was like, Joe, what is nice, because Tai Long still probably is my favourite villain from this franchise, and kind of having that full circle of him.
Yeah, and because we see, like you say, that even though he was defeated by Poe, he still doesn't respect him, because he used his little, like, finger
wushu,
move or
finger
whatever,
hold.
Like, it wasn't really a full kind of... But now he's like, you know, you're
good.
I like I said, mentioned that the dads have the kind of secondary story.
Yeah, Mr. Ping and Li Shao.
I thought that was great. I thought that was a fun little...
Yeah, they're a fun duo, and it's like they are essentially a couple at this point, in the most like kids animal film you can have, like this little couple that go off on their adventures together. It's really funny the bit where Poe's gone to his adventure and they both separately sneak out to go follow him and bump into each other, and they're like, okay, we'll go together.
That's good.
And there's the bit as well when they go to the bar on the cliff.
This is what I was thinking.
When Lee turns in and they're like, oh, it's the band, and he's kind of acting it up, and then it quickly kind of falls apart.
Yeah, it was very good.
I mean, the whole bar fight before with Zen and Poe was really good fun as well.
I feel like the balancing building is something I've seen in other things, but they used it well.
And it
starts with, and it's like you say, like Poe, it should be able to beat everyone, but because he's trying to kind of get out of it with his words, because he's been told that he should start doing that more, like, he's kind of on the back foot. It's more of a kind of Jackie Chan kind of trying to get out of it thing. If he just went and fought them all, he'd be absolutely
fine.
I
think with that as well, like, he's not being held back by the fact that he's like a fat panda. He's being held back by the fact he's also trying to control Zen and not fight.
Exactly.
That's why he's not just easily winning the fight.
There's
a couple of jokes in it that I really liked.
I didn't write any of these down.
There's one where Mr. Ping and Lee get to Juniper City looking for Poe, and Lee's like, oh, I'm a panda, I'll be able to spot him everywhere if there's any clues I'll find, and the camera like zooms out and there's a bunch of wanted posters and pictures of Poe on. That was funny.
There was a fun bit before that when the wanted posters first come out, and after Poe gets arrested and then they escape, they immediately see posters of him, and they're like, city life moves first. Like,
There's also a bit at the start where it's kind of the double joke where Poe is signing autographs, which I quite like that it's in Chinese characters, because and accidentally signs Shifu's face, and then moments later he's taking pictures, are little drawings,
quick drawings,
which is a great little joke in itself, and he takes one with Shifu by mistake,
which they did a thing with the Goose Dad in the previous film, something kind of similar.
And he was like, oh, can I get a wallet size version of that? And they then used that picture later on, Mr. Ping and Lee, to try and find Poe. I was like, that was fun.
It is
a funny film.
It is. I feel like there was a couple of jokes that didn't fully work for me, but it's always the same with a kind of a broad film like this, that some are kind of aimed more at kids, some are aimed at everyone, some are aimed at more adults. And there's a few, I can't remember them off the top of my head, but I was like, okay, yeah. Like the bunnies, like, it was okay. It was kind of like a bit more kid thing for me. I was like, it's not for me, it's fine. But yeah, I think it was a funny film, and the kind of, it had a good kind of, they've all got a good kind of feeling about them.
Yeah.
They're never too kind of sad, or, you know, any emotional bits kind of get resolved quite nicely, quite quickly.
Yeah, of course.
It's not like silly, and, you know, some films drag things out too long.
No, it knows where it sits and who its audience is.
Yeah, like even the argument stuff between Zhen and Poe, where, I mean, there's a bit of a twist there, which we all kind of saw coming, because it's kind of telegraphed a little bit earlier.
Although I have to say, sitting next to you, I literally saw the moment the penny dropped because you a very exaggerated movement of like, ah, yes.
They were like, I was taken in by someone in the city. And I'm like, okay, right.
Yeah. I liked the chase sequence with like a Chinese instrumental version of Crazy Train playing, which was wild. Yeah. And the first time I've seen anything like that in this franchise, I was just
The closest would be the version of Kung Fu Fighting that was in the
credits of the second one, I want to say.
Yeah, or maybe the third one when they were all kind of fighting.
Yeah, to just it's really because me and Christine, who also went, had talked about that song like 3 times in the last like 2 days because it had come up in other things.
That's weird because I recognised the kind of the melody of the chorus, but I was trying to figure it out. And I think was it during it that you were, or was it after?
Yeah,
I was like, what is this?
Yeah, because I think it's in another film that Christina knows, and we went a Villa game recently and they played that as the players will go. It's weird. I assume that they're setting up a Zen spin-off of some sort with this.
I think they might just do Kung Fu Panda 5 but then just have her as the secondary character, so she's kind of the donkey / Puss in Boots to the Shrek,
yeah,
if you know what I mean. So half the story is about her but it's still under the ban, or maybe they'll do a Puss in Boots style
that's what I'm thinking thing, yeah, like Kung Fu Zhen. They can't really call it Kung Fu Panda if Po's not in it. Although, or maybe they'll do like a Creed thing and have Po in it, but like have Zhen as the main character. Call it Zhen and just have Po as like a supporting character.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine like, he'd come back for
Rocky
at least
is
the
in
first
Creed.
One. But then, so yeah, I mean, are we going to negative slightly?
Yeah, sure.
Because the main thing I didn't really like about this was the whole thing that Shifu is like, you have to give up being the Dragon Warrior. And it feels like he's only been the Dragon Warrior for about 5 years within this universe.
And it's meant to be like a 100-year-old like prophecy.
Yeah, and it kind of felt like it was going to turn around that Shifu was only doing it, like only saying that because he was still jealous and all that. Because there's a few jokes where he's like, I'm perfectly content with the fact that Master Oogway gave you the staff and all. But it feels like it doesn't feel justified that he has to do this.
Yeah.
And as soon as you meet this new character and he hasn't decided, you're like, okay, right, you see where this is going. She's going to be the next Dragon Warrior. But it's like, she's the next Dragon Warrior, but it's making it feel like he's having to give it up now.
Yeah,
whereas I think it's more like she's the apprentice Dragon Warrior, and maybe when he dies, she'll become the new one.
Yeah, but I always thought with this franchise as well that like, when Po stops being the Dragon Warrior, that's it. There's no Dragon Warrior. Like,
because there's not been one before.
There's not been one before. There was a prophecy that there will be a Dragon Warrior, and then Po lived up to that prophecy.
Yeah.
It never said anything it then being like a passed on title.
No. And I don't mind him having an apprentice because it makes sense because, although she's very skilled, he hasn't.
And also, one thing I liked about this film is Po stepping into that mentor role, which we haven't seen him do before. I think it's really well done.
Because he kind of start, because there's a stupid bit in 3 where it's like you have to start training the Furious Five, and it's like, but they all know more than you. Like, it doesn't. That was kind of just a silly bit to kind of shake things up a little bit. And, but it felt like they took that even further with this, and it just, it didn't really make sense to me.
I think negatives. I think this film is miss. We said when we came out of it.
Yeah.
The Furious Five aren't in it.
Yeah.
And it's a very bit at the beginning where they're like, oh, they're off, they're fighting and they're off doing that. And I'm like, oh, okay, they're not going to be in it. I don't know where they would fit in this film, but it's still a shame that they're not
in
it.
And I can see that if you have one, it's like, well, where's so and so and all that. And we noticed from the last one that, like, I don't know if Jackie Chan actually recorded any new lines. Lucy Liu says like one thing. I think it may be recycled
in this one. Seth Rogen's the only member of the Furious Five.
I think I saw that somewhere.
He does like a nya
at the end. Right. Okay. Yeah.
Also, like, I know he's been dead for like 3 films now, but I like the Oogway cameos that we often get, and I feel like, considering that Shifu's telling him to pass on the Dragon Warrior title, an Oogway cameo could have fitted in quite nicely,
especially
there,
with getting all the villains at the end. Like, have Oogway then show up, and then the one that Po witnesses being like chi sucked is Oogway, and he's like, oh no, and it like adds an extra stake to
it. Or, you know, just as things are hitting the rock bottom at the end, Oogway appears and was like, you must, like, teach her to be the Dragon Warrior.
They even did, like, they did a few bits where Po is, like, thinking about Shifu, and Shifu's talking to him, like, the the devil and the angel on the shoulder thing,
yeah.
Which was quite a fun way to include Shifu, because I think we said in either 2 or 3 there was a bit of a lack of that character because yeah. they're not in the valley kind of thing. So that was quite fun, but maybe get Oogway in that role instead.
Yeah.
But then again, like, Po's master was never really Oogway because...
No, so but he still kind of respects him as kind of a...
Yeah.
Like a Yoda figure.
Well, very much so, yeah.
The only other negative I've really got is I thought the ending was a bit quick and a bit flat.
Yeah, I'd agree, with
the,
yeah.
Hey, you do this. She does it and then it's kind of just the end.
Yeah, because they kind of telegraphed it before by going out, how do you do the whole move, and this is the order of things, stir the soup, whatever the thing was, cut the noodles or whatever. But yeah, then the fact that it was like a one hit thing to win seemed a little bit like, okay, yeah. And I get that it was like, oh, Poe was trying to teach her how to do it and all that, and I get it, but considering the fight
up a bit and
the fight seemed like it was kind of just building up a bit,
yeah.
and then it kind of ended very quickly, and then we had quite a lot of like epilogue-y bit as well. I feel like I don't know, I thought it was gonna end in a different way. I feel like they could have done a bit more with the spirit realm stuff. We had a lot of it last time and it was quite fun.
We don't see it, do we?
I did like that when she makes the portal, it's like this kind of horrific thing of like smoke coming out, and when he made it, it was like this golden kind of archway thing.
The golden,
like,
dragons,
dragon archway thing, which is like, it's attention to detail. It shows that there's like it was pretty good.
So I've got a few bits of trivia. One was when they get the different candidates for the Dragon Warriors, there's one that's like a black and white pig who's voiced by Mr. Beast.
Yes, weirdly enough. I did hear about this, yeah.
Random.
I think literally goes like ha or hya or whatever. Yeah.
But sure. This film marks the first time that Poe refers to himself as the Kung Fu Panda.
Yes.
When he said that, I was like, oh, you know what? I'm not against it. This is fun.
It's when he's going, oh, you might know me as the Kung Fu Panda.
And then finally, in March 2024, so last month, In a Discord Q&A session in a fan server, co-director Stephanie Marr Stein noted that the Furious Five were not originally going to appear despite protests from writers, artists and animators. Marr Stein explained that it was due to the cost of the original actors, especially Angelina Jolie as Tigress. Yeah. However, the marketing department told the filmmakers to include them in a cameo appearance. So when you've got Seth Rogen, Angelina Jolie, Jackie Chan and...
Lucy Liu. And the crane is David Cross.
Like, yeah. That is, I saw this at the lowest budget.
I was going to say, it feels like a cheaper one. Not because of how it looks, but it's a more compact kind of film.
Yeah, I think it was like $80 million.
And like visually, we mentioned some of the kind of, you know, the general progression in these 8 years or so since the last one. But they did kind of add some of the stylistic elements. They have the kind of split screeny stuff with, that feels a little bit anime kind of.
We didn't get any of the kind of 2D animation like flashes
The only thing was when the Furious 5 are recapped, it's like the wood cut out puppets thing.
Yeah,
but you're right, every other one started with some sort of 2D style intro flashback
storytelling
thing. And I did notice that straight from the start. I was like, okay, so maybe a new trilogy vibe, like, don't do that from the start. Who knows?
The last thing to do is to ask you whether or not Kung Fu Panda 4 lived up to the hype. Prod yes or prod no?
I would say prod yes. I think I thought this was going to be a real downturn. It wasn't like mind-blowing, but it was pretty on par, I'd say. Like,
yeah.
And we've talked about other DreamWorks, Shrek. It could have been a lot worse. So prod yes for me. How about you?
I was going to say prod yes. I think there was more chance that this was going to be below expectations than above expectation. Mm. And I think at the end, it was kind of about as good as I expected it to be, so in that case, it did live up to the hype.
Nice.
That is Kung Fu Panda 4. Maybe we'll get a Kung Fu Panda 5 in a few years.
I think they said depending on how it goes.
I haven't had a look at the box office.
Yeah.
But like, it is the lowest budget, so it doesn't need to do as well.
I think the directors or Katzenberg or whatever he's called, the DreamWorks guy, said depending on, they said they kind of put this in as if like this is just a standalone, but if it works, they'll make a couple more after it.
Yeah, so it's been out in the US for a few weeks now, so the budget is more like $85 million budget. Yeah. Box office $347 million.
Okay, so
it's been fine.
Yeah, and I think we're only just on Easter holidays here.
Yeah,
and I think Australia have similar Easter holidays as well. So you know, there's a decent market still to come over the next 2 weeks.
It has done well enough that they could do more of these. But yeah, so that is
Kung Fu Panda 4.
Yeah,
and if you like this, we've got more stuff on the same podcast channel. Scroll up, scroll down, you might see something you like.
Yeah, do it.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Kung Fu bye.
Kung Fu kya.
Project.